Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Say F It, where today we are talking about
the Melbourne Marathon Festival and friends.
And friends and post-race feels. I know we kind of covered it with old Cam in the previous podcast, but we're going to go solely on our feelings. We're going to cover...
because we have so many of them.
So many feelings. And also some of the issues that most people go through, which is things like the sadness, the pure sadness of the next...
I mean, everybody...
2 days after...
Yeah, 2 days that could last a lot longer as well.
It can.
But I mean, I think everyone's marathon journey is pretty unique, except yep. I think there's a few things that everybody will have in common, things such as, I guess a little
sadness.
Bit of... sadness. I mean, it extends to like pre-marathon in terms of like self-doubt, confidence yep. issues, nerves, anxiety, all these kinds of things
yep.
Leading into a race. And then you've got like, you know, the high of the actual race, but then also... the come down afterwards. These are things that we all share.
Yeah.
Regardless of your experience.
Exactly. And we're going to get into all of that hardcore today. We're also going to cover a little bit about our weekend on it.
What was your highlight? If you had to choose just one.
What was my highlight? I would say just one.
Yeah. Top three. Actually, you can have three.
The shakeout run.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. That was really nice.
Meeting a hero? Sorry, just to make it awkward.
Yeah, my 50-year-old lookalike.
To mention if you're listening. You've got an admirer.
Yeah. Shakeout run was good. I would also say the running expo on the Saturday was, in fact, just Saturday. Saturday was such a great day.
Mm.
Just met so many nice people, so many people that were really happy to talk about why they were doing it. And we just seemed to have a really good atmosphere around us, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we need to take a second to appreciate the like pre-race expo, because this is something that I've never really got around previously. Like it's just, I guess running is, like we keep saying, it's so much more popular now that it has been previously. Yeah. But the expo was like the energy around it is like the excitement and anticipation of what's to come. I think it's like, it's such a super exciting thing to do, especially like the day before the race, because obviously it's open for a few days and you can go get your race numbers on the Friday when it's, you know, quieter and more convenient. But on the Saturday, it was absolutely buzzing.
It really was. I mean, the Friday when we did it, it was... essentially a hurricane.
Oh, that's true. It was.
But Saturday, glorious.
Yeah.
Glorious. We've been very lucky because we've teamed up and partnered with Beyond Blue, who let us be part of their running expo, which was just so nice of them. And we also partnered with them for the Shakeout Run, which was just an amazing event that was really great. But you are correct. The running expo, just an unbelievable vibe around it.
And I think probably one of the best parts of partnering with Beyond Blue was hearing everybody's stories in the lead up to it as well, and the reasons why they would, you know, why they were taking part. And I think it just made it such a special event for everybody.
Yeah, I think it really did. It does open up that conversation as to why people are doing it that isn't just, you know, their own... going out to do it to prove something to themselves. Like a lot of people that are doing it for Beyond Blue have been affected by, you know, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, or themselves that have had to go through, that they've gone through some sort of mental health issues. And it was just really nice to hear why some people were going and doing it. I had some really nice chats with people who had been affected. I mean, obviously sad, but also uplifting as to how they've taken that on and, you know, signed up to something that they never thought that they would ever do and go and do a marathon, which, you know, they couldn't even run before. And now they're proving to themselves that they can go 42.2 kilometers.
Yeah. And I think like running isn't necessarily directly related to their journey, but it was cool to hear that a lot of people found running to be like such an assistance in helping their mental health too.
Yeah.
because I think it's something, I mean, I've been a runner for such a long time that I don't really think about it. But for me, it's like the community and the connection is, you know, absolutely a boost your mental health. And I guess like the endorphins that come along with it as well are just a bonus.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really cool to see how running has actually, like specifically running has helped people's mental health in a big way.
Oh, huge amount. I even think back to my own self. I'd struggled badly with mental health. You know, my best friend unfortunately took his own life, and it was something that I found really difficult to deal with. And then on top of that, I was going through my own type of anxiety and being riddled with that. And then obviously then COVID happened after I'd sort of got rid of all of that, and then it sort of came back. And then through exercise, I managed to overcome all of it and completely turn my life around. And you know, running and cycling and swimming, obviously the core parts of a triathlon, but also going to the gym and exercising and moving my body were the things that did it. And you know, I know that we don't really cover too much on here as to, you know, effort itself as the app and what we do, but the one of the core reasons as to why it was created wasn't just to, you know, try and get people to get fit. It was also for them to holistically become healthier, both physically and mentally. And that's why it's such a big point of having the connection part of you messaging each other and it being a safe space for you to be able to upload your photo proudly without wondering if anybody's going to, you know, criticize you for exercising, which people do. Like, people do criticize, like, you know, that you do get slandered and slammed by people because you've been putting up, you know, exercise photos up on your Instagram. And
people commenting like, oh, you're a fitness influencer now.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. I did an experiment when I was starting with effort where I was trying to understand, you know, what the pain points are. And I did this thing where I posted for 14 days just photos of my exercise. And I hadn't done that before. And within 14 days, I had a friend that said to me, are you okay? Like, yeah. I think, you know, why are you putting these photos up? I think, you know, are you going through something bad? And then I found out that within 7 days, people had been talking about me behind my back because I've been posting these pictures.
Yeah.
And I just found it so interesting that it wasn't promotional. It was the opposite.
Yeah, people assume the worst.
Yeah, for doing something that you would, you know, I was getting ridiculed, essentially.
Yeah, that's
And I found it so interesting.
It's interesting. It is kind of nice that someone actually, like, checked in with you and reached out.
No, they checked in with me in a way of, like, mate, what are you doing?
Yeah, okay. It yeah, like, not a kind
hey,
way.
Are you okay? Is everything all right? It was like, are you
Get
okay?
A grip. Yeah.
So I found it really interesting. And that, you know, it's one of the reasons why it's been built in the way that it's been built for that connection. But that's why it's been so special, having such a great relationship with Beyond Blue throughout this, because it's one of the core reasons as to why this whole thing has been created. And they're out there doing all the good work that we're sort of trying to do, and it's just really well tied in. So it was really nice being with them at the Running Expo, just such lovely people. And then the whole postcard thing just tied in so perfectly with you know, the conversations that people, it gave a reason for people to have the conversation as well, didn't it? Kind of opened people up.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, the idea is that we created postcards where you would write a message to your post-race self, pre-marathon or pre-10K or, you know, whatever your race is, for it to be delivered to you, obviously by the postman, not by hand.
Yeah, we're not going to come around to everyone's houses.
No. Could be. Could you imagine? How'd your race go?
tell us everything.
Yeah. But it's something that created introspection and thoughts of, you know, that you've got yourself to this, to the start line, which is the most impressive part, and it's nice to reflect on your journey. But also it ties in with having that introspection and look back and being proud of yourself. So it was amazing. It was really, it was one of those where it was really, it was all good feels, I felt.
Yeah, I agree. So was that highlight number one still, or where are we at here?
No, I said the shakeout run, and then I just said actually all of Saturday.
Yeah, I just love everything.
Yeah,
which is pretty fitting.
Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, you.
We don't have time for that. No, I agree. Like everything that you just said absolutely resonates. Like it was really special meeting everybody, hearing about people's journeys, and then also seeing people write the postcards to their post-race self or even to each other. And yeah. I think it's really special as well, especially like for partners or family members, because they've seen, like, you know, they've been there along the journey, you know, whether it's a struggle or whether it's training for an event, whatever it is. Like your family and your friends, they've been there for the journey. So I think it was, like, for me, it was really special seeing people write postcards to, you know, people who weren't racing.
Yeah.
Writing postcards to those who were.
Yeah.
Because they've seen it from a different perspective. Really special.
Yeah. Well, it's that thing of it takes a village, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think that it's just you that gets you to a start line, you'd sorely mistaken, because it'll be your partner that's had to, you know, cook more meals.
Be patient. Yeah.
Or it could be, I don't know, it could be your parents that have driven you to the track.
Looked after kids.
Or you've had to, you know, your partner's looked after your kids or whatever it is. I mean, there's so many different things that it's, it definitely takes more than you to get there. So, it was really, really nice. It was good feels.
How about race day? What's your,
Yeah, we don't talk about that. No, we do.
How did it start? How did it end?
It started pretty well, actually. In fact, I will say I woke up, because 30,000 steps on the Saturday was not a great way to get yourself ready for a marathon the next day.
But also the standing. I reckon the standing's harder than the walking.
Yeah, I'd
walking.
Say so. Mm. Yeah, it was grueling. Mm. By the time that Saturday 4 p.m. came, I was ready to just pass out by that point.
Yeah.
So when I woke up on Sunday morning, I really felt like what it was going to be like by the age of 90.
Nice.
I was making noises like this.
It's good insight.
Oh God!
But how cool was the start line area and the Melbourne Marathon hot air balloons? That for me was a standout. I did not expect that.
It was amazing. For us though, we didn't get that. We got it when you looked over the bridge when you go past Flinders Street Station. And you looked to your right; they were there. So we didn't get that. You guys got that.
Yeah, well, I saw it. I was almost late to my race because I was getting so caught up watching the marathon start and seeing all that sort of stuff. But it was so worth it because it was great.
Oh, it was amazing! Like the set off, like the start, the atmosphere of a marathon,
unmatched.
It's just phenomenal, and it's just, you can tell that the whole city is just rooting for, I don't know, 50,000 people that are about to go and run. Mm. So it's just phenomenal. Everyone was. I mean, I didn't have headphones this time, so I heard everybody talking for the first time. Some weird conversations that I heard. Mm. But just so nice. It was actually the most, I don't know if it's because I usually have headphones in, but I would say it was the friendliest I've known the marathon be. So that was really nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talk about the journey in the lead up to a marathon, but the marathon itself is a journey too, right?
Oh, it is.
The people that you kind of meet along the way. And I'm sure, I mean, like, I've never actually run a marathon, but from what I would see is that you're making friends along the way as well and sort of supporting each other.
Yeah.
Because so much can happen, and I'm sure that you had plenty of highs and lows along the way, and all you've got is like the people around you, and they're experiencing it too.
Yeah. There is always somebody that's there to offer a supportive word, which is really, really nice. Even at 36K, there was some girl that I bumped into because of the way that the marathon goes, that there's quite a lot of curbs and tram lines and bollards that you don't see, and you kind of have to like dodge them pretty quickly. And this girl just bumped into one of them, and she was just like running with pretty grazed legs, and I was walking up that bit of the tan because I was just dead at that point. But we had a nice chat. It was just nice. And weirdly, that chat, sometimes it's a bit like when you're running with friends, isn't it? Sometimes the chat can remove all of that pain that's currently in your head, and you can just get, it's like a reset button and you can just get on with it. So it was really, really nice.
And sometimes that's all you need is just a quick little reset.
Yeah.
And you're on your way.
Yeah. And a couple of Panadol.
Yeah. Okay, this is my favorite part. Well, did we cover this in the last one?
We did.
Oh, okay, we did. All right. I'll just remind us all that Tom stopped at the 7-Eleven, which is probably like the highlight of my the highlight of things that I've heard from last weekend. I really wish that you got more than just a Gatorade, though. I really wish you bought like the, because I know
it's
that
like a spinach and ricotta.
Yeah, roll. They've got a Krispy Kreme donut deal going at the moment, so that would have been a nice little
honestly. I think everybody that was in that 7-Eleven was more surprised to see me running in there than like surely not. This guy can't be. And it was right next to where there's like the pillar the
cafes.
No, you know the well, yeah, but you know pillar hydration.
Oh
the,
yeah, yeah.
Like they had like this massive air streamer and there was like music pumping and there's like all as one run club and they're all like raising these flags and stuff. And I just bypassed all of that, went straight into the 7-Eleven. Yeah. Took two Panadol. I found out that those Panadol that turned me into Eliud Kipchoge for the last one, they had caffeine in them.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So it wasn't a placebo after all. It was actually legitimate little bit of performance enhanced.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you my performance was enhanced. So yes, great recap. I had a very full heart after the marathon and then a full belly of Guinness after that. And then was wildly depressed for the next 2 days, which we're going to get onto now, which is post-race blues.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of races.
Yeah, I did. And I had, for me, it wasn't, it wasn't my best race, but it was, like I had a really good time, and so for me it was more about the community, I think, in doing it. And what I thought was really cool was that, I think like even though I was only doing a 10K, maybe I wasn't running as fast as I should have, but I feel like I made a little community along the way, which is like it was really special. And I caught up to one girl after about 4K, and she came along and was just like just running with me because she was obviously struggling just running by herself, and then. Yeah. And then she ran with me for the rest of the way. And
oh, nice.
I just thought it was awesome. And then she beat me at the end. And so I thought that was absolutely fantastic because like she was really struggling to like run by herself. And then, but like the fact that I was able to kind of pick her up and, you know, get her to come running with me. And just by having somebody to run with, it sort of like helped her, I guess, like that was her like resetting and just being able to like find her rhythm and not like stress or anything.
Yeah.
And and she did really well, which is really cool. And so I think it was for me
were
it was
you
a really
chatting
nice
to her whilst
not extensively, just little words, you know, we're just kind of
I was about to say you did a 36-minute 10K, so
not certainly not having a conversation, but just kind of like, you know, just what you need to sort of like kind of get through it.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Like even though we're running a 10K and it's definitely not the community feel as a marathon, it still felt like that.
Right.
But it still felt like it was enough that we were all kind of sharing the journey together, which was also really special. And I mean, like 10K versus marathon, it is a completely different event. And because 10K, you can bounce back pretty quick and you're sort of back to training the next day. And so I think that you talk about the post-race blues, it is completely different because, you know, there's not as much of a lead into it and you can do another one probably the next weekend if you feel like it. Whereas in marathon, it's like people have been training for months for this and then you finally have your end goal, you do it and then you're kind of left probably feeling a little bit empty.
Well, I did a little bit of research into this because I was thinking, am I alone?
Yeah.
Not just,
I've just realized how
that sound. Not just, am I alone, full stop. but am I alone in feeling sad? And it turns out that 80% of runners feel a noticeable mood dip after a big event.
Mm. And I mean, it's unsurprising because of how much of an investment, you know, a big event like a marathon actually is. And I think that what I think that people really love about marathon training is that it creates a lot of structure into your life. And so you've got this routine and I guess like a purpose, a reason for sort of getting up each day And, you know, you wake up, you've got your training, you've got to get it done, and then you go to work, and then you might have something else, like another training session in the evening.
Mm.
But it's like your day is very much dictated to by your training and your weekly structure. So then you wake up the day after, you finish your marathon, and all of a sudden you're like, you don't have your routine, you don't have your structure, and then you feel like you have lost that sense of purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely felt that. Not so much the purpose side, because I've still got a lofty goal that I'm going for next June, so I can keep going with what my purpose is, but definitely the pure, you know, constant stress of the week leading up to it, the fatigue, the mental load that you take on as well, the 4 pints of Guinness, it's really, really taxing. It doesn't matter if it's a marathon, it doesn't matter if it's your 5Ks, whatever your Everest is, like that, it is taxing, because you have so much of a mental load on it. I feel like you must have, must be dropping endorphins, serotonin loss, the whole shebang.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, because then, you know, you obviously can't continue your usual training. Like, so even if you're not sticking to your usual structure or whatever it is, you actually need to respect the recovery time too. And so you're obviously not doing your usual training, that's your body's used to having all these endorphins and the community side of things. And I definitely, like, I mean, I ran past some run groups, that would usually be running at particular times, and, you know, very empty the week after a marathon. Yeah. And people are sort of just going there for a catch up and not actually running, but they're just standing around.
Yeah.
But you're missing all that as well.
Yeah.
I think, I never remember, a friend of mine won an Olympic medal and suffered like significant depression after that, and was really low for a really long time. And I mean, there are so many similarities, and you sort of think that it would be really different. And I think that, I guess, like what I learned, my interpretation of that whole situation is that, you know, when you become an Olympic medalist, same thing as when you finish a marathon, you expect your life to change.
Yeah.
You expect to then, you know, doors be open, getting opportunities, maybe sponsorships or something like that.
Yeah.
But in the end, then you kind of just come back to your house.
Yeah.
Maybe with your pet. And it's just like, and then you get up and you go to work the next day, or like, nothing really changes.
Nope.
And I think that is a really hard thing to do, especially if you've been training for a marathon for a really long time. You finally get there race day, the highs of the race day as well. But then your life doesn't actually change. You still, nothing magic happens. You do then end up just going back to your everyday life.
Yeah.
And I think
the question, what next, comes up.
Yeah, I think so. But then I think that, not that it's a bad thing. Like, I don't think that the everyday life is such a bad thing, but I think it feels like a come down, because then it's just like, oh, back to reality.
There's I know you're not much of a golfer, but Scotty Scheffler, who's the best golfer on the planet, number one at the moment, he just did maybe it was 2 months ago, a full conversation, like an interview basically based on his thoughts on what it's like to win. And it was for the British Open, and they said, are you how big would this be for you? And he became really honest and open about it, and he said that the biggest event that he ever wanted to win was this college event, and he won it. And then after it, he celebrated for that moment, and then he went and celebrated with his family, and then the next day life just continued. And then he said that every single time, whenever he won the Masters, or he's won, you know, the US Open or the FedEx Cup or the British Open, he basically won everything. And every single time, it's exactly the same feeling every time. And it's he basically amounted it to that you can go and do these things, and they're amazing. You should try and achieve things in life, but you should always just know that they're not the be all and end all moments. That your time with your family in the small part is the be all and end all moments.
Mm.
And these moments are things that you can go and enjoy, and it's amazing, but you will have a oh, was that it at the end of each one?
Yeah, I think it's like it's also bringing it back to enjoying the process rather than just like the end result. And it is really special, and it's probably like post event is a really good time to reflect on like the journey that is the lead up to it. You know, the anticipation, the excitement, the early mornings, the hard slog, the pain in your body, all the niggles and all that kind of stuff. It is actually like the journey is actually like a really fun and exciting place to be.
Yeah.
And I think that it is really important to sort of be reflecting on that like at all times and actually making sure that you're enjoying it.
100%. You know, the race is the celebration. Even if you don't make it to the finish line, you made it to the start line. Something can go wrong in 42.2 kilometers. Like that is in a marathon. Something could go wrong in a 5K. Like it's still 5,000 steps. Like for something to go right every single time, you know, you're defying odds, really, realistically. But the fact that you get to the start line to reflect that you've gone and done consistently all of that training, that you've got up in the early mornings, you've gone to bed early, you've said no to the drinks on the Friday night with all of your mates because you've got to go and do a long run on a Saturday, like all of that isn't wasted. If it's not gone right for you, and also. If it does go right for you, and you'll look at it, you know, in the same way of all of it was worth it. But the journey is the most important part. Like the journey is the thing that keeps you going. It's like the small stuff in life. If you always wanted to just focus on the big stuff and it was the big stuff that kept you happy, you'd be miserable. like the sunrises are nice. You know, it's these tiny little moments in life that bring joy, I think. And it's the same as when you're doing, you know, you're following your journey. It's you get up on a Thursday morning for a track session that you're like, there is no way I can be asked for this. And then you've got the sunrise. There's all these hot air balloons around you. And by 7:30, you're like, that was the greatest morning ever. And it's just those small things that I think are the most important parts rather than the.
I get really excited when I have when I have like an interval session on in the first thing in the morning. I think it's especially because you're meeting people to go for a run.
Yeah.
Whereas I think like often when I just do an easy run, I'll just do it, at the comfort of, you know, whenever it suits me and fits into my schedule. But I always know that like on those mornings, I know that I've like cleared my morning and I know that I'm on a mission to like meet people. So I get really excited. Even just you saying that then. I know I'm sort of like deviating slightly from this conversation, as soon as you said it, I was just like, oh, I started quivering with excitement. It's like hot air balloons, summer's coming.
Everyone will be there.
I just love that. I love where the people are.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think, and then I guess, yeah, like how do you sort of deal with these post-race blues? And I know that you've sort of spoken about, I think we have a slightly difference of opinion here in terms of shifting the attention to what's next.
Yeah. I think two things on this, and it's semi-contradictory.
Perfect.
One is that recently, whilst training over the last year, I've been training to be ready for whatever. Like it doesn't matter. Like if a marathon came up, I'd like to be able to go and do it. If it's I don't know, a 5K race, which I find more terrifying than a marathon, may I add? Then I feel like I'm ready to do it. Or if it's something pops up, like I can do it. So that kind of drives me more. But a lot of the time, if I've gone and done a race, I do think, what's next? And then like, I'm very good at sitting and reflecting. Like I find a good sense of joy in it as well, just to have that pride in myself. But then I will think, what's next? And then I'll most certainly look for a race. Or I'll have something in the diary that is something for me to aim towards. As I say, I've tried to train towards not having to have that thing in there. But really, the race is, you know, the next race is the thing that gets me really going for it. And I have to have something. Once I've done that thing and I go, that was good, I'll either have to create a goal that is doing better than I did in that thing that I've just done. Or it has to be something that literally scares the living crap out of me. And then I know that it'll keep me on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, and I really like what you're saying about just like being ready to jump in a race whenever, because I think that you know, even just in terms of looking after your body, like if you only run when you're training for a particular race, then it's like, you know, the change in load is going to be pretty significant. Whereas if you're just kind of already, I guess, like ready to jump in a race at any point, it means that you've got these like regular routines and regular, you know, whether it's run clubs that you're always going to. So that if you decide like, oh, I am going to run a half marathon or something, then you're like, okay, we've got like 8 weeks to get ready for it. And it's not like all of a sudden you're going from nothing to like doing 20K runs or 18K long runs in, to prepare for it.
Yeah.
But then also like having those regular run groups is like, I think it's a really nice way to be connecting with others and sort of have that regularity of it throughout the year.
Definitely. Yes, I agree with you. I think it is really, really important to, I think of this in a way that if you are trying to lose weight, as an example, and you're trying to lose weight for an event, let's say a wedding, as an example, right? You're trying to lose weight for a wedding, you will then go and do stuff that is not something that you can keep doing forever because you've got that goal and then you're going to, you know, hopefully achieve your weight loss by the time that it's your wedding. And then once you've done that, you'll start eating like a pig again. And it's the same when it comes to exercise. I've noticed some people will, you know, lock in for a marathon or, you know, a high rocks or whatever it is. And then once they've done that, they'll fall off the bandwagon again. And then they'll wait 3 or 4 months. Then they'll go, okay, now it's time for me to start training again because I've got this event. And that's why I tried to do this training of being ready for anything. But it's also what is the amount that I can maintain in a healthy way that I feel like I could do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I like that. I've like I have a couple of like thoughts on that as well, because I definitely agree. And that's like whenever I start coaching somebody, I always say like I prefer it if they don't have a particular goal. I prefer it if they, you know, are happy and comfortable with just like locking in you know, weekly routines and daily habits to get the most out of themselves. And then it's like, then when you're fit, you're like, you can choose whatever event you want to do. And be specific in that. But and I think that's the foundation of being a runner, I guess, is having that consistent base, and then that's how to become your best. But I do like, on top of that, having a I love a 4 week training block. I mean, 4 week training camp or block, whatever it is. You can't just go away from training camp. But I've always really liked that, because then you can actually lock in and you can get rid of external, I guess, like factors as well. So like, and I think that this can be a good way to do it in, you know, if you've got like a family, if you've got people at home that you need to be looking after as well. You know, you can do your weekly run clubs and, you know, the things that are really sustainable. But then sometimes maybe like a 4 week, 8 week, whatever it is, a block leading into a marathon, it's probably not so sustainable. I think marathon blocks are usually about 16 weeks, but not all 16 weeks are like going to be like crazy intense. But I think, you know, having that, the base foundation is of like, you know, your normal training or whatever, and then you can build upon that for a short period of time, which is like what you're talking about leading into a wedding, but you just, you have that foundational layer underneath that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
It's as if you go back to maintenance.
Yeah. Exactly, but not nothing.
However,
I do think that once you've just done a race, or like a big race, particularly like a marathon, like you do need time to recover. And I think not just physically, but also in your mind. And I know that just something that I've observed through, you know, like friends and other people that I've coached, is that especially if you have a good result, you're just like, you got so much fire in the belly and you're like, okay, what's next? I want to embark on my next like training adventure to, you know, to my next goal. But I do think that the recovery period is something that really needs to be appreciated. Yeah. And I think not just for physically, but also for the mind as well.
Yeah.
Because even if you finish a race and you feel like highly motivated and super enthusiastic about what's next, just from my observations, it's something that after a couple of weeks, then it does start to come down and start to get tired and sort of fatigued. And I think that having that sort of, you know, forced downtime post like a big event is really important.
Definitely.
In making the next goal more sustainable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've got these marks around my neck because I just wear my medal nonstop.
Do you get anything free from wearing it?
Nah,
I saw you pay for your beers.
Nah, I had to pay for my beers. Yeah, yeah, there were too many people doing that. One fact that I forgot to tie in earlier that I found that I thought was really interesting, and this is from Harvard Health, so it definitely is true.
Okay.
Which is that athletes who spend time reflecting after an event show faster motivation recovery and lower burnout rates. So if you do actually just sit back, reflect on, you know, how you've got there, you'll be more prepared.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that, and like for any part of the training as well. And I think I feel like I've seen it in terms of, you know, when you have to have a couple of days off because you're a bit sick or you got a niggle or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like trying to train through that, and you can get through it. If you've just got a cold, you're like, oh, just run through it anyway. Yep. Versus actually taking time off, you bounce back quicker and you actually seem to absorb the training a little bit quicker. So not exactly what you were saying, but I think it's kind of similar in that way as well. It's just like you like stop, absorb it. Because also don't forget after a marathon, like you've just run a marathon, you've got that in your legs. And so if you give your body a chance to absorb it, that's a huge, huge like addition to your training bank.
Oh, crazy. Like when I did that ultra, my fitness dramatically increased.
Yeah.
I always find it amazing when somebody does a marathon, a half marathon, in fact, any event, and then once they've finished, they go, yeah, I'm just going to pig out for 3 months now. I just think, but then you're going to have to go and do all of that hard work again to get yourself there. Like,
yeah, use it. Use it to your advantage.
If you can maintain something now, then when you go back into a training block, you'll be even better, surely.
So, I mean, everyone's different with all of them. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to call anyone out, but
especially with crazy season coming up in old Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. Baking season. Do you bake? Sorry, a little off topic, but just in general.
I don't bake. I cook. I love cooking.
Yeah.
But I've never been interested in baking.
Do you have a favorite Christmas treat?
It used to be pigs in blankets, but
what is, that's,
oh, yeah. You're talking bake. You're still talking baking.
Yeah.
Even though I just said I don't bake.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What is a pig in a blanket?
It's a sausage wrapped in bacon.
Okay.
Pigs in blankets.
Okay.
Or it's me on Boxing Day.
Wait, you're vegetarian.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said I can't eat anymore.
Oh, okay.
But now there's some really great, like sausages, veggie sausages.
It's true.
And excellent. I found an excellent veggie bacon.
Okay.
It's off its lips.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
You can still do it. Favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say you didn't ask me, but I'm just going to answer anyway. I love those rum balls. And the reason it's on my mind right now is because I went to a baby shower on the weekend and, she made these incredible rum balls, and it's literally like, isn't it like sweetened condensed milk, cocoa and biscuits and then coconut on the outside? Best thing ever. Make sure it's refrigerated because I don't really like it when it's soft. But
yeah, that sounds quite nice actually.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about though?
I do.
Yeah.
I also had this is so far off topic, but I also had.
Still important.
I had a dessert on Saturday. I never dessert. I'm not a dessertman.
Yep.
But I deserted. This time, not as in I didn't leave the place. I've fully devoured this. It was like a chocolate, like a hard chocolate mousse on top of like a biscuit with an orange sorbet. And it was off its lips. I was flying with joy. It was so good. I was like, can I get another?
Yeah, okay. You lost me. Like it sent the chocolate part sounded good. I can't do fruit and chocolate together. Not a thing.
What, you're not you couldn't have a Terry's chocolate orange?
Nah, that would probably be my actual worst nightmare. Actually, probably my worst would be like fresh strawberries dipped in chocolate.
Oh yeah, no, that get in the bin.
Yeah.
If you're having chocolate, enjoy chocolate. Don't pretend that it's healthy. Like unless you're doing dark chocolate where I convince myself that it is.
Sound like my mom.
Yeah. On that thing, bringing us back to our topics that we were on.
Oh yeah.
On that thing of what's next, interestingly, we've teamed up with an event that's next.
Yeah, we do. So about, we've got 5 weeks to go.
Six
weeks to go. We're going to be, joining forces with 2x you and Beyond Blue for the wellness run. Did I say that correctly?
Semi, you did, yeah. We've already teamed up with them. And we have created community packs with Beyond Blue and the 2XU Wellness Run.
Yeah, so it's really...
Two times you.
So it's really cool. So, like, I guess the idea is so that everyone's got, like, a community to join in the lead up to the race, because, you know, it's obviously so easy to sign up to a race, but then, you know, and get enthusiastic about it for the first couple of weeks. But, you know, to make sure that your training is, it's still happening.
Yeah.
These packs are awesome because it holds you accountable because you've got a community of other runners who are doing the same event as you.
And you're all doing it together, which is...
Also, the thing that I really like is that everyone has, you know, we talk about everyone having their own journey, and, you know, you might be someone that runs twice a week, you might be someone that runs 4x a week. It doesn't really matter what you're doing. You put in your own goal, and you're fulfilling that within the pact. So you're not actually having to, train with somebody who's on like a 6-day-a-week running schedule or something like that.
Yeah, it's choose your own adventure and just upload however many days you said you're going to exercise. You don't have to worry about Johnny, who's doing, 700 hours a week.
So which event have you signed up to?
I'm doing the half marathon.
The half marathon?
I am indeed, yeah. I've decided that I am going to do one last event before Christmas. I'm going to lock in and I'm going to try and get a good time.
Well, there's not many left. I think that this race, I think it's kind of the only one between now and Christmas. I think the only main one anyway.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one, and it's awesome to see people joining the packs and staying accountable already.
Yeah, definitely. Is that it? I mean, it's kind of a bit of a full circle moment for me, really, because this was my first ever event. I'd never done an event before doing the wellness run. And it was the half marathon that I did. I actually got given a ticket like 2 days before it started. And it was probably the first time that I realized how far a half marathon was. Because I got to 18K and it got very dark.
Yeah.
But it was the first one, and I loved it. And it's such a great environment because it's deemed as a fun run. It's not meant to be taking itself seriously. It's a wellness run. It is for any and all abilities. Like, if you're doing a 5K, you can run or walk. Same with the 10K, you can run or walk. And the half marathon, I mean, I probably wouldn't walk that because that's a long way.
It's a long way. It's a big commitment.
But it's inclusive for everybody. Mm. So it's just such a great event. If you've gone and done one of the Melbourne events so far, sign up to it. And it's a good way to finish the year out, I think. And it's just a great environment. So that's that.
That's that. See you there.
What are your top tips for maintaining?
Maintaining like fitness or maintaining consistency?
Yeah, you've done your race. Both.
I think maintaining fitness. I guess I could say doing things like, if you have to keep active after a race, doing things like swimming rather than running.
Yep.
Just to like change up the stimulus of your body. But I really believe that after a big race like that, you do need to rest for your body to be able to absorb it. And then I guess also like mentally as well, just like a full reset to get you hungry for the next thing. I think obviously first of all, rest. What was the question again?
Top tips for maintaining.
Yeah, for maintaining. So I mean, the same thing.
You've done the marathon. You've done the 10K, you've done the half marathon, you've done your 5K, whatever your Everest race was, you've gone and done it.
Yeah. So first of all, rest. Maintain? Rest, absorb, socialize, and stay consistent with friends. And I think that signing up to something else that's coming up, I think, is good. My recommendation, this is me with my coach's hat on, if you've just run a marathon, don't sign up to another one straight away. I think you need...
Go against all the advice that I've just said.
Terms
and conditions apply.
Sorry. I mean, don't sign up to another marathon straight away.
No, Jesus, no.
Try something different. Like, mix 100%. Up the stimulus of your body. Try a 5K park run. You know, give yourself, a couple of weeks to reset and a couple of weeks to maybe sharpen up with some speed. You'll have amazing endurance from that event. Mm. So try something new. Try 10K or a... like I said, a park run. So 10K in this wellness run would be good. A local park run is easy because then you can choose whenever you feel ready to do it, but mix it up. But, you know, sign up to it with a friend or get back running with a mate to help you, I guess, stay accountable with it. But I think that sometimes just because you've run a marathon, it doesn't mean that you can only run marathons from now on, or it doesn't mean that it only counts if you do a marathon.
No, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, there's so many different events that are on. And I think even just to avoid comparing, because you might have had like everything go well and like the perfect day and everything is really good. And like Melbourne Marathon, it's such an epic event that I think it's really hard to like have anything that will kind of live up to those expectations. So, you know, even jumping in like a trail race or like some sort of relay or, you know, even a track race, like there's plenty of those around. Just to change it up as well, because, you know, if you sort of look for like, oh, I really want to join another marathon, what's next? And it's like maybe a low-key one in Wangaratta or something like that. it's not going to be the same as the Melbourne Marathon. And so I think, you know, it can lead to maybe being a little bit disappointed. But, a 5K park run, don't dismiss it. It's not nothing. Just because you've run a marathon, it's still.
Well, I've heard that the park run has some real elite runners at the front. People are going for a ridiculous time.
So, I mean, some of them do, but they don't actually count anymore, which is a bit disappointing because I got a park run record and they don't do records anymore. They scrapped them all. And I was like, well, that's disappointing. But I did have one while they counted.
Did you?
But there's so many park runs.
Yeah. Something that you said there that I think is really important is when you said the comparison. I know we talk about this all the time. But when a marathon has been finished, or, you know, the Melbourne Marathon Festival, you've got so many people that have done so many of the different races, they are all putting up posts about how amazing it went. And I can promise you that it went dark for every single one of them at some point. So don't look at it and compare. Like, oh, they had such a great race. Everybody has their own race.
Yeah.
Whilst we've been, you know, commenting on people's posts where they've, you know, they've done their race, to give them, you know, some kudos, as I'd say, on the old Strava. There's just so many people that have had epic, unbelievable, phenomenal races, and sometimes social media isn't true. It's really hard to compare yourself. So, yeah. Reflect on your own journey rather than looking at others.
Yeah, if you had a shocker, then just be happy for others and just know that there's plenty more opportunities.
100%, for sure. Okay, well, that's it.
Oh, okay. We're free.
Yeah, I reckon this is the first time that you haven't shown me your watch.
Oh, yeah, well, just looking at it. This is a bit later in the day. I was just starting to get a little bit hungry.
Yeah, I know. Going for a fishbowl?
Yeah, well, I can't because I didn't actually run today. So Fishbowl have this, you know, if you run on a Monday or a Tuesday, you get $5 off your bowl. Yep. So actually, highly recommend this if you're not already on it. You got to download the app. You get points. You get some free bowls. But most importantly, on a Monday or Tuesday, if you run, you get $5 off. But I did not run today, so I am not allowed to get Fishbowl because then I would have to pay full price.
I know, we've got to start our Monday Run Club back up.
Yes, we have, but I did. Do a little bit of have a little bit of a sore foot, so today running is not on the cards, but tomorrow we might be back.
Excellent. And on that, we'll be back in a week's time. Thanks.
Or not.
What?
We don't actually know.
We will. It'll be a week. Put it in your diary. Goodbye.